expand your understanding in some things. Might be a little loud. The title of the message is Renewing Your Youth with Biblical Diet. And by biblical, I mean not only the things that are in the Bible, but the principles that God gives us and outlines for us. And the title is Renewing Your Youth. And let's take a look. Dear Father, we do ask that you will be with the preaching of thy word, has been already prayed. We do ask, God, that you meet with us. Give us what we need, Lord. And Father, we do pray that we would lift up our desires and we would seek after all that you have for us, God. And we thank you for this opportunity to be stewards of our bodies, stewards of this life, of this age, God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start with Jeremiah 33. Something we were reading the other day, I believe it was. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof." The Lord that formed it. The Lord made Israel. The Lord made Jerusalem. The Lord made each of us. He's our maker. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." What a promise. Think about that. Great and mighty things. God wants you to be excited about the potential, the things that he has for us. The context is repentance. They are under discipline. And even then, in the midst of their discipline, God is giving them this promise of mercy to get excited about, to hope for. But he says, "Behold, I will bring it health and cure." Beautiful scripture. Certainly that can apply to us personally. 3 John 1 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." I do believe that if the Holy Spirit had not given you the arrangement here in this verse, nobody would apply it in this age. Nobody would have applied the health to your body because of Gnosticism and asceticism and because of laziness. They want God to only deal with spiritual things because it's easier to hide in regard to the things of the Spirit, see. But this is obviously talking about physical health. Not only does John wish it, but if John the Apostle wished it above all things, then it must be a holy desire, and it must be something that you should be seeking as well, to whatever degree you can obtain it in proper order. "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Don't neglect your soul. Don't neglect eternity, God forbid. Don't even neglect the 1,000-year kingdom to come. There are three lives: this life, the world to come, and eternity. And you need to be concerned about every one of them. So we have a general call here. A general call to health, we might say. And when we're talking about soul health, spiritual health, don't forget your body, because that's what happened when the false teachers came in, the Gnostics and their asceticism. Sometimes you have a worshiping of the body like the pagans, and they commit abominations and they abuse their bodies into all kinds of sin. But then you have this pseudo-spirituality, which is a covering for sin in a paradoxical way. Basically, they say, "Let's not worry about the body at all. God doesn't care about the body because we're hyper-spiritual. All that matters is your heart." Oh, that's real convenient, because what happens here is if you can ignore your body, If God didn't care about it, then he obviously doesn't care about how you dress, your sexual conduct, certainly not your gluttony, certainly not your surfeiting, which we saw refers to not only eating with a lack of moderation, but eating things that are unhealthy. That's what the word means. So we have a general call to health, to whatever degree you can control it. But let's get more specific. Proverbs 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Look at the S on that. For length of days. Why does he begin with that? Why does God, the Holy Spirit, say, keep my commandments with an S on it, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee? Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives you eternal life. Certainly peace with God. But then you got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ in regard to the kingdom to come, the world to come, the millennial kingdom, the time of reward, length of day. Keep God's commandments, and you will enter into that by His grace through your faith and obedience. We're not talking about eternity. We're talking about reward. But what about this life? There's no way you could say there's not an application here for this life. A general principle. That the things of God, when you obey them, will give you peace in this life. They'll give you length of days and long life. It doesn't mean that providence can't interrupt it. It doesn't mean that God might not have other things occur. But nevertheless, it's telling you length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. I mean, He might have you be persecuted. He might have you be martyred. But at least you're giving to God a body that has been preserved in honor, responsibility. It shall be health to thy navel. That's physical. Whatever spiritual, figurative thing you want to add, belly health is one of the most important things, your gut health. Solomon knows what he's talking about here. And marrow to thy bones. He's outlined the whole immune system right here that modern science has just now barely tapped in to what he's saying here. Length of days is in her right hand. Obey God. He gives you a long life. That's a promise. Proverbs 8, all they that hate me love death. Talking about wisdom. You hate God's commandments? God says, don't eat much honey, but honey's good. Eat some of it, but don't eat too much. You don't like that? You don't like staying away from unclean things? You hate God's commandments? Well, you're going to have some problems. See, God gives you wisdom in every aspect of our life. He gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Study the Bible for your soul. Study it for your spirit. Study it for your body. They all work together synergistically. They help one another. Again, Proverbs 9, for by me, wisdom, obeying God, God's ways, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Something happens. Wow, isn't it amazing? Don't look at the wine. It's amazing what it does for your brain, what it does for your body. It's amazing when you obey God, what He can give you. Look through the Bible. See what He prescribes. See what He ordains. Learn the principles. Proverbs 10, the fear of the Lord. Afraid not to obey God. Afraid to miss out on all that God has. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Why do we get that over and over again? But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, moral strength, spiritual strength. Why not physical strength? How dare anybody read from Genesis to Revelation and tell me that you don't enter into more spiritual strength by obedience and wisdom that God gives you. Now let's get even more specific in regard to one major way these multiplication of days comes about. Psalms 103:1, you should know this one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Now He's going to show you one way you bless God. You know how you bless God? By believing Him. You know how you bless God? By letting Him be God, by letting Him direct you, by coming to God saying, you are my maker, you are my designer. I want you to show me all that you have for me, all you have for my spirit, all you have for my soul, all you have for my body. I want to enter into all of your benefits and give you praise and give you glory for it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. How are we going to do it? Not only with your voice, but by your obedience. Forget not all His benefits. One way you bless God and honor Him is by saying, God, I don't want to miss any of your benefits. Let's look at the five benefits. Five is the number of grace or death. Because I'm going to tell you, if you miss any of these, they turn from life to death. Benefit number one, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh, praise God for that benefit. Come to God through Christ. And then after you're saved, repent of your sins, confess to the Lord all that you do wrong, who healeth all thy diseases. Second benefit. You say, well, God might give you a thorn in the flesh and interrupt that. Well, if God does it, pray for it to be taken away until He says no. But does that mean you shouldn't try? Paul prayed three times to get rid of whatever thorn he had. Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Third benefit. Study that one. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? That's a benefit. To some degree, the Pentecostals run with the second benefit, but don't entirely dismiss. Just because you say, I'm not a Pentecostal, so I'm just going to get away from any bit. That's just nonsense. It's just nonsense. But it seems that modern Christians do not have any problem, at least in verbally giving lip service to these four benefits. But it's the fifth one that has been forgotten. And he doesn't say, just seek it all. He says, forget not all my benefits. Why are we forgetting the last one? I entered into it right when I got saved. I didn't even know this verse. But I figured if this book is the manual, if it's the preserved Word of God and it's inspired, God has a lot to tell me. And it doesn't take long to read the Bible and realize He talks a lot about eating. I picked up the Bible and says, this is my health manual. Who satisfies thy mouth, not just your heart, not just your spirit, your mouth, with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That's a benefit. That's your benefit in Christ. To have your youth continually renewed. You say, well, you just can't do that forever. Well, you just might keep renewing your youth and the rapture happens. So how do you know you can't just keep doing that forever? If God has you die, you die. But until then, you just keep renewing your youth and entering into all that God has, just like an eagle. I believe this is not only provision, it's prescription. Meaning that when God satisfies your mouth with good things, He's not only providing you the ability to obtain it, He is telling you how to eat. He's giving you the principles of how to eat, how to stay away from unclean things. When I got on my knees in the year 1999 or 2000, and I realized that there were antibiotics and pesticides and all kinds of junk still in the food, even when you cook it, even when you wash it, I said, how am I going to eat? So I got on my knees and says, Lord, I don't want this unclean stuff in my body. Provide for me to be able to eat. Provision, prescription, to tell you how to eat. To grow in learning this wisdom of youth renewal. Why? So you can glory before man? No. So you can have strength. So you can be a steward of the grace God's given you to use your life for God as a testimony in every way you can serve Him till He calls you out of here. I notice this apostrophe right here. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. It doesn't say eagles with an S. That's the NASB. Just throw that in the trash. This is your authorized version, the English Bible that's been preserved for us in these last days. And it says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles, meaning like the eagle's youth is renewed. That's what that means. So what does that mean? God has a benefit for you. He will satisfy your mouth, show you what to eat, and make sure you have the ability to get it if you will trust Him and try, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle's youth is renewed. It's interesting to look at the commentators, because what they say is there was this ancient fable that the eagle can renew its youth by flying toward the sun and then dive bombing down to the water, and then it's able to be reborn. And what they say is, so this is a poetic reference to that stupid fable. I'm like, you're a man of God? You're a theologian? You're a preacher and you're writing such trash? No, if it's in my Bible and Solomon wrote it inspired, then there's something here scientific for your body. Don't you give me that garbage. Stephen Charnock said, the Bible is not a natural history. Don't take this literal. It's just some silly fable. But the Bible's being poetic. No, you're speaking like a fool. So what we need to do is ask ourselves, why is the eagle an example of youth renewal? I used to think it's merely saying that just as an eagle is strong to take flight, you can be made strong, not just in the world to come and in eternity, but to a large degree even now if you'll enter into it and figure out what God wants to give you for your mouth to eat. But based on the apostrophe here, I think there's more. How does the eagle maintain that power of flight? How does it continually, until it's time to die, maintain that power of flight? All those battles it has. You ever watch Wild Kingdom back in the early days? Have you ever watched any of these nature videos and seen what type of, the eagle, he's doing all kinds of battle. I mean, them feathers are getting messed up all over the place. How does he maintain his flight? Through the wear and tear of life. Not only aging, but battles. And when you begin to look into it, you see, first of all, there is the basic process of molting. Interesting. Birds naturally lose their feathers and regrow them in this process called molting. Eagles go through a molt usually once a year. Old feathers fall out, new ones grow to take their place. Solomon, understanding a lot about the natural world and writing through inspiration, studied the eagle, and God gave him the wisdom that no man on earth had. And he was able to see that eagle keeps renewing itself. That's how he mounts up to fly. They get rid of those old feathers, and he gets new ones. And then he's able to continue this strength of flying. Obviously, when he gets rid of the messed up feathers and gets these newer ones, he's made stronger for flight. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You say, "Preacher, obviously you're dealing with eternity and the glorified body." Totally understand that. I'd say you're even dealing with the judgment seat of Christ and what's going to happen to you at the millennial kingdom. But I've learned something about millennial prophecies. When you look at Paul, when you look at the Malachi prophecy of Elijah, John the Baptist was a type of that. When you look at the Joel prophecy, you see Pentecost was a piece of that, a partial fulfillment of that, the bouncing ball. I want to get this bouncing ball, which means there is some of this that is now. Don't go jump off of a building, please. But I'm telling you, there's something here about renewing your strength. You might have applications of it. You might have already had applications of it. I remember one time when I wasn't even thinking about this verse. We had this lawnmower tractor, riding lawnmower semi-tractor thing, and it was just, it was a big old piece of mess. And we needed to pay the mortgage, and we needed to pay our bills, and I needed to sell this thing, and this fella came here with a big old truck, and he said, "Oh, I didn't know it was that big. Me and you aren't going to be able to get that in that truck." Oh, I needed this so bad. Where I got the assurance, where I got the faith, I don't know, but I said, "If you'll buy it, I'll put it in the truck." And he laughed at me. I put it in the truck. And afterwards, he sat down and said, "Can I ask you a question? How did that just happen? Where did you find that strength?" I said, "That was just a blessing from God, man. I really need the money really, really bad." And so whether God just gave me faith or whatever happened there, I'm telling you, there are times when you need strength from God that God can give it to you. See, that's an application of this. But I also see an application here where you are living by the wisdom of God and you are stronger than you would be if you were living by the foolishness of this world and the foolishness of your flesh. Oh, let's not forget the fifth benefit. Oh, Satan wants to feed you too. God has good things for your mouth, but Satan would love for you to feed on what he has for you, spiritually and literally. What does God ordain in his wisdom? What does he prescribe? What rules does he give us? What boundaries? I believe when God shows you something, when God says, "You know what? The Israelites were eating fish, wild fish, clean fish. They were eating garlic. They were eating leeks. They were eating things like that." And it says that they were strong. I believe God was giving them power, but he works through physical things. The Egyptians were very foolish as they followed their physicians. We have an Egyptian medical manual from ancient times. You wouldn't believe some of the stupidity that's in there. But God protected his people. They were strong. I believe those things make you strong today. But the molting renewal of the eagle is not entirely automatic. What I'm telling you is, this process of molting has some qualifications. Eagles.org says, so you might think 5 years for the eagle to arrive at sexual maturity, 5 plumages of feathers, 1 molt per year? Well, not exactly. molt can be affected by a variety of biological and welfare factors, such as food supply. And so can your molting. So can your youth renewal and strength. And a lot of people haven't been molting because of a variety of biological and welfare factors. And a lot of it has only you to blame. I believe in some ways we are hindering the fifth benefit. Number one, you don't seek it. You don't try to find out what God has for you about eating. And you're hindering your molting process here. Oh, but there's more. God reserved it for our day. For them to mock this verse century after century. The eagle renewal. Well, molting should have been enough to satisfy them that there's something going on with the eagle. But God reserved our generation. God reserved our generation to show you that there's something even more than the molting process. Oh my. It says here in International Journal of Avian Science, 2016 it was when they found it. This is on the golden eagle also, which is in Israel. Experimental evidence that a large raptor can detect and replace heavily damaged flight feathers long before their scheduled molt date. Wow. This demonstrates the existence of a previously undescribed neurophysiological mechanism for preferentially replacing damaged feathers. Although damaged feathers cannot heal, our data show a transformative element to the biology of feather renewal. They messed up feathers on a golden eagle. I don't know how they got away with that. You just so much as find one, buddy, you're in a lot of trouble. Better not touch it. But somehow or another, they're messing up feathers. And all of a sudden, the eagle fixed them. Like, what did you just do? It's not your molting time. How'd you fix that feather? He says, I'm an eagle. I'm able to renew it. Well, I know you're able to renew it in molting time. He said, no, sometimes I just renew it before it's even time to molt. They said, wow, there's something here we never knew before. Woo! Solomon knew all about it, amen? Solomon knew all about it. Your God who made the eagle knew all about it. And he said, just as the eagle renews itself, I've got some renewing for you. You just got to enter into it. You just got to believe and be obedient. Quit being so lazy and stubborn. Who would expect the Lord to end his sermon about the last days with a warning about unhealthy eating? Well, it makes perfect sense when you read Genesis to Revelation. Man's a threefold being. And it all affects one another. It all affects one another. Body, soul, spirit. Laodicea is not only naked and in sin, there's a spiritual and a physical weakness, a poverty that Laodicea is in. Just weak. Weak in spirit, weak in mind, and weak in body. See, as Christians, you need to be walking in God's benefits. Walk as this upright, godly, wise person that God has called you to be, and quit walking like the world. And if you want to walk like the world, you're going to experience what the world experiences. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, are you not carnal and walk as men? People are paying millions of dollars for what's in this book. You understand that? There are people, 45 right now, that are just shelling out millions of dollars just to appear a little younger by some quacks telling them a bunch of stuff that... Wow, I don't want your millions of dollars. This is the word of God. Freely we receive, freely give. But you want to give me millions of dollars, I'll take it and use it for God. It says, Ephesians 4, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. It says in Deuteronomy 28, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law, and a lot of it talks about eating, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. they finally dug up some Egyptians, you know, these mummies or whatever they were, and they said, oh, wow, they look like modern Americans. They had a lot of the same diseases modern Americans have. You know why? Because you're walking like an Egyptian. It was a pop song years ago, walk like an Egyptian. Yeah, that's what Christians are doing. I don't mean like modern Egyptians. I mean like ancient Egyptians, living like them in all their foolishness. He said, Leviticus, and you shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, whether it's Canaanites or whether it's Egypt. How's the world walking in general? Every now and then they stumble onto some of God's wisdom, but they don't give God the glory, and they don't understand that they've stumbled onto some of His wisdom. But most of the world is right here, today.com, just a few days ago, January the 30th. Older Americans show signs of addiction to junk food. Over 20-something years ago, I handed out a tract at the church in downtown Dallas called Junk Food Junkies for Jesus. New Post says Americans addicted to processed foods that could cause cancer, of course. New studies, after studying 200,000 middle-aged participants over the course of a decade, while also taking into account lifestyle behaviors, including smoking, diets, exercise, as well as socioeconomic class and body mass index. The study comes as data emerges from the University of Michigan that suggests Americans are addicted to processed junk foods. Previous research has shown links between processed foods and adverse health effects. They can also affect consumers' mental health and could even be a culprit for autoimmune disorders. Junk food hijacks the brain, making it more difficult to say no. A lot of times you hear preaching like this, just like an alcoholic or a drunkard does. And a lot of times he wants to stop. You've got a lot of drunkards that want to quit. But the Bible tells you don't even look at the wine, because there's going to be an addiction process here that's going to be hard to break. And you only break an addiction, unless God just gives you a miracle, you only break addictions by a lot of suffering. It's going to hurt. Pray for God's mercy that it don't hurt too much. But it's going to hurt to break an addiction. That's assuming you even care. Oh, listen to this fellow right here. Joshua 14 says, Caleb, now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. I heard a good fundamentalist preacher in the 1970s look at that, and he scratched his chin, and he said, oh, he's just bragging. He don't have that strength. That's because he didn't have that strength. He died pretty soon after that. I'm telling you something. He did have that strength. Caleb's not mocking. Caleb's not bragging. Caleb's not boasting. Somehow or another, he had entered into something in God's power. And don't you say that God didn't use food. Don't you say God didn't use natural means through His power to bring this to pass. That is a renewal. God says, I want you to understand my benefits. Get as much of it as He'll give you. Just yesterday, it says, Insider.com, February 1st, Tom Brady. Just so you know, as I read this, I have never in my life watched a Tom Brady quarterback football game. I've watched football games in earlier days. I've never seen Tom Brady. That shows you how long I've been out of it. You know, way over 20 years, I've never seen a football game. Might have saw a little piece of something on a clip or something, but I've never seen Tom Brady as far as playing a game. But it says Tom Brady officially retired Wednesday as one of the best players in NFL history. At 44 years old, Brady stepped away from the gridiron with 7 Super Bowl rings and 5 Super Bowl Most Valuable Player awards. Unheard of stuff. And what people are saying is, how can you get hit so many times and be in the health that you're in and continue over and over and over to win? And he might have won this time had his wife didn't say, "I divorce you." And he went through a depression and lost weight and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But regardless, he's retired. He will almost surely go down in history as the greatest quarterback in the history of professional football, says this writer. He has played in more Super Bowls than any other player in NFL history. He's won more Super Bowls than any other player or any single NFL franchise. Not only that, his wife, at least what was his wife, to whom he was married for 13 years, was the world's top-earning supermodel for 10 consecutive years and is reportedly on pace to make $1 billion in career earnings. He has kept a very strict diet. And when you look at it, I'm like, that's not very strict. You know, when he entered football, somewhere around the year 2000, I ate by the testimony of the Word of God, same diet he had. I've been without sugar 10 years before he ever even started playing football. Business Insider, Tom Brady seems to have found the fountain of youth. And he tries to tell people, a lot of this is because of the way I eat. You ought to try it. You're like, "Well, I can't do that. Who could do such a thing?" You just scratch your head. It's like, but as hard as Brady works out, it's his diet that really throws people for a loop. While dandelion greens are his staples, I wrote newsletters in the 1990s about dandelion greens. He avoids nightshades, a group of veggies that includes tomatoes, peppers, mushrooms, eggplants, white potatoes. I just looked in the Bible and said, you know what? I never see him eating that stuff. Wonder what's wrong with it. And I'm not going to separate from somebody because they don't follow what I believe is a biblical principle there. But I figure if they didn't eat nightshades in the Bible, I'm not going to be the guinea pig to experiment with it. You go eat it. Then you look at the potato greens and you can't eat them because they've got these things that cause inflammation in them. And some of it's in the potatoes sometimes. And I got tired of the indigestion all night from the potatoes. I got tired of the diabetic effect from the potatoes. And I just said, forget it. So I don't eat peppers. I don't eat eggplants. I don't eat mushrooms. I don't eat any of those things. Whether that's helping or not, that's just me. You do whatever you want to do. I'm just telling you. He goes on to say, white sugar, white flour, dairy are nowhere to be found in his kitchen. And I put a question mark there because just to show you, he almost has a good diet. Why would you stay away from dairy? I'm talking about raw milk that doesn't have hormones, doesn't have antibiotics, grass-fed cows, that type of thing. You know, I'm talking living milk. But white sugar, I remember I got saved in 1989, and I'm going to tell you, right there, I grabbed a nutrition book because I said, God, I want to give you my whole life. I want to do what's right. I want to take care of my body. I read what you said about honey in the Bible, and if you told me not to eat much honey, what in the world is white sugar? What in the world is this thing that's not even in the Bible? If I'm to not eat much honey, I'm not going to eat any of this white sugar thing. I've never had a cavity in my life. And I'm going to tell you, at that moment, I read a nutrition book, and it says that sugar eats up your B vitamins, and it affects your morale. And I said, well, I'm not going to eat this stuff. I'm not going to eat this stuff. What's this dairy thing? You know, I remember my grandmother and my mom and others telling me that maybe God just did this for me. But they would try to give me milk as a child, and I spit it out. I'm talking a little child. I spit it out. They were sending me to specialists. He keeps spitting out his milk. I'm not talking breast milk. I'm talking about that dead slop they were giving me with hormones and antibiotics all in it. I don't know, maybe it was just God just blessing me or just showing me. I don't know. You know, God does a lot of things. I spit out the milk. It wasn't until one doctor, Dr. Gibbs, said, put a raw egg in the milk. Just stop all the specialists, stop all the tests, stop everything. This boy's not going to eat. He's not going to drink that milk. Go put a raw egg in the milk. They said, that's crazy. They went and did it, and I drunk it down. I drunk it down. I loved it. I loved it. I said, I want more. I want more. I want more. The little toddler, I want more. I want more. I want more. 8 years old, my grandmother's, you know the story, making hot dogs, boiling them in water, rotten bunch of stupid, no telling what's in there. I didn't know. I didn't know how to read ingredients. I said, I didn't know what a migraine was, but I sure had them every time my grandmother made those hot dogs. I said, Grandmother, there's something in these hot dogs. I'm telling you, no exaggeration. I'm telling you, just as clear. My grandmother got mad at me. I said, ain't nothing wrong with them hot dogs. I've been eating hot dogs all my life. Well, you've been eating something that's got something wrong in it. I don't want to eat it no more. Now, looking back, we know nitrates and all kinds of things in there. He rarely drinks alcohol. Bible said, don't even look at it. He's never even tried coffee. I've been away from coffee as long as he's been playing football, at least. Brady's wife, Gazelle Bungen, and his children are also adherents to the strict diet. The kids almost always eat the same meals as their parents. His chef says, if it's not organic, we don't use it. Sugar is the death of people, says his chef. We also shun MSG, says his chef. What the world is amazed at is how Brady continues to play, how he was able to not only play but win everything that he was able to win, and why is his wife able at her age to still be one of the most sought-out supermodels? You're telling me it has nothing to do with their diet? I don't believe that. I'm not saying it has everything to do with it. I don't believe that. That has nothing to do with how they take care of themselves. Daily Mail just the other day says those who ate the most ultra-processed foods had the highest risk of developing all types of cancer, according to research from Imperial College London. They were also more likely to die from cancer if they did get it, with breast and ovarian cancers up to a third more deadly. Expert believes it's the chemicals, the colorings, the sweeteners, the preservatives to extend shelf life that's raising the risk, while the relationship between obesity and cancer is already well established. Study finds just yesterday or the other day says every bite of junk food increases the risk of dying from cancer. Now they're finding out. It just, the more you put in, the more your risk goes up. Microplastics used in food packagings and paint have been found in human veins. I mean, this is just continuing this whole plastic thing, you know. Here in Missouri, one of the chief researchers took those plastic water bottles and gave it to a student, said, y'all want to be an experiment? I want you to drink out of it while it's cold, and we're going to come over here and we're going to test what happened to your bloodstream and your urine. They could not believe the BPA. Then researchers in Texas said, hey, guess what? There's 100 other BPA-like things in that plastic, plus all these other things that we haven't even tapped into and discovered yet. It's a chemical toxic soup. New York Post. Junk food hijacks the brain's ability to control food intake. You're not able to even think about it. You got brain damage now. Time Magazine. A growing number of recent studies have raised health concerns about ultra-processed foods. Studies including one published in Neurology in July 2022, finding that 10% increase in ultra-processed food consumption raises the risk of dementia. Have linked the food category to severe health outcomes. My dad would never eat vegetables. He loved sweets and hamburgers. Loved to go to the fast food place. That's what he did. He said, Dad, you gotta eat some greens. Gotta do something. You gotta have a Bible diet. He started getting a little more into health there at the end, but too late. He rotted out all his teeth. He had problems for years. My poor papa. I just dug up a study from my mom, a hair analysis in 2007. She said it had no heavy metal poisoning. I read the entire study. No aluminum, no cadmium, no nothing. I read one from just a few years ago that she had gotten. And it says, warning, cadmium levels high, aluminum high. All of this is risk for dementia. My mom right now has dementia. Pray for her. When I picked her up to bring her to our house, we were getting fruits and vegetables. She was loading up the cart with conventional stuff, stuff that's grown in human dung and stuff. I said, what are you doing? It's full of pesticides, Mom. Messes up your brain. Gives you cancer. You've never done this before. She goes, I got a new water filter, and it washes off all the pesticide. I said, Mom, it's not washing off all the pesticide. She had heavy metal poisoning. News Nation, according to a study published in the journal Addiction, highly processed foods meet the same criteria that were used to classify tobacco as an addictive substance. They used to say tobacco is good for you. It was in recent decades that they will overthrow the stupidity of the industry. And they say that same criteria we use to show that tobacco is addictive, junk food meets every one of the criteria. Dr. Ashley Gerhard, one of the researchers, said the study shows diets high in processed foods are killing people as much as tobacco is. The food is killing more people than alcohol and opioids. I don't suggest you do any of it. Let me read a few more and then we're done. Newsweek, junk food raises men's risk of bowel cancer by almost a third, according to research. That's a lot. A study of more than 200,000 people. These aren't small studies. See, CBS News, new study finds junk food could pose risk for dementia. Researchers found that for every 10% increase in daily intake of these foods, people had a 25% higher risk of developing dementia. Real Clear Wire, just the other day, says millennials in the West see 70% explosion in strokes, now ranging in age from 27 to 42. That has never happened, ever. A lot of it's vaccines, but there's other things to play here. One reason you stay away from vaccines is to stay away from the heavy metals and poison that's in the vaccine. What good is it to stay away from vaccines and then go every single day eat food that's smothered with the junk? Millennials are suffering strokes at higher rates than their forebears did at the same age. Increased stroke isn't the only health issue that these millennials are contending with. The rates of many cancers, especially those tied to poor diet, are rising for people under age 50. And listen to what they say. The best solution to reverse this rise in early stroke is for millennials and future generations to eat right. Well, how do you know how to eat right? A lot of it's common sense, folks. A lot of, if you just weren't addicted and stubborn, you could use some common sense and figure out how to eat right. But praise God, we got a manual, amen? Praise God, we got a book that gives us a foundation for eating right, which makes us wiser if we'll apply ourselves than anybody else that doesn't have that supernatural foundation. And exercise, especially from a young age. If healthy lifestyle practices are instilled early, it's likely they will remain second nature. A lot of the generation right now that's struggling so much, it's because they are sentimental. They say, well, my mama did it this way, and her mama. That's why they were addicted to Crisco, and they died of heart disease. They said, my mama used Crisco, and her mama used Crisco. Well, guess what? Her mama didn't. You go back three generations, they didn't use the junk, okay? So you need to go back to some common sense and think about it. If you grow up with something, then it just becomes part of your life. It's hard to break it. Why don't you give your kids a blessing And give them some new habits to pass on to their children, if you have children. Lord knows I've been trying to help you. Proverbs 4, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. God said flesh. Psalms 103, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Dear Holy Father, we do give you thanks. Oh God, we don't want to forget any of your benefits. We don't want to forget forgiveness of sins, Lord. We don't want to forget all these wonderful benefits we have in Christ, and we have in your holy, inspired, preserved Word of God that gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Lord, what wonderful, amazing things you've given us. Lord, I pray more will be inspired, encouraged, motivated to tap into it. Help us, Lord. And may we use the strength and youth renewal that you give us at whatever age to serve you more, Lord. To serve you more. In Jesus' name, amen.